The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
This morning's scripture is reading is from Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God's life by his Spirit.
Looking for purpose? Feeling lost in the noise? Paul's letter to the Ephesians reveals a radical truth.
You are chosen, adopted, and redeemed.
It's not about doing more.
It's about knowing whose you are. You are in Christ, and you can make a difference in the world.
So who watched the budget on Tuesday night? Anyone read anything about the budget? All right, there's a few that did. Whether you agree with it or not, there's a whole series of tax changes that, if they get legislated, are going to change a whole aspect around the financial landscape for those whose model of finances have been set up around negative gearing, trusts and capital gains taxes. And for over 25 years, people have made financial plans based on the current tax system, but you know, after 25 years, they may now have to change their investment models or business models. Now, if that's what has happened for people after just 25 years of living one way, imagine what it's like if there are centuries of living a particular way. And I'm not just talking about finances, I'm talking here around religion and culture. Imagine that changing radically. That's how it was for Jews who now put their faith in Jesus Christ, and for Gentiles who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And that radical shift in their whole way of life is the context, the background to the passage we're going to look at today from Ephesians 2. And this passage shows us three things. In the first part, it shows us that those who don't know God can come to know him through Christ. Then it goes on to show us that Christ is peace and brings peace to all believers to create one body. And then in Christ, we become a holy temple of God's presence and glory. So to help us understand this passage, and particularly this difference between the Jews and the Gentiles, let's go back to Genesis, where God spoke to a man named Abraham. And he said to Abraham that he would become the father of a new nation, a nation that would be called Israel, and the people of Israel would become known as the Jews. And God told Abraham that all Jewish male descendants were to be circumcised. It was a physical sign that they were set apart as God's holy people. Now, all the people who were not Jews were known as Gentiles. The Jews sometimes referred to themselves rather loftily as the circumcised, and in a rather derogatory way to the Gentiles as the uncircumcised. Now, several centuries after Abraham, the nation of Israel found themselves on their way to the promised land. And God appeared to them at Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And the primary purpose of the law was to teach the Israelites how to live as a holy people set apart to God and to reveal God to the nations around about them. So the law taught them how to be holy so that they could enter God's presence and reveal God to others. And so the law consisted of purity laws, that is, what kept them pure, what kept them set apart from other nations. It included food laws around what they could eat that were ritually clean or unclean. It taught them about relationships, around marriage, around community. It taught them how to worship God. So this aspect of worship was another key identity of the Jewish identity. And in particular, it was a worship of God at the holy temple. And so what we see is that for the Israelites, the Jews, their temple was the place where they believed God dwelt on earth and where he had manifested his glory. So at the time of Jesus, the temple had a design where there was the outer court, the court of the Gentiles, and then there were the court of the women, the court of the men, the court of the priests, and the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was, the place of the real presence of God. Gentiles were considered impure, so they weren't allowed into any of the other courts. They were only allowed into the court of the Gentiles, and it was separated from the rest of the courts by a wall. It made sure that the Gentiles couldn't go any further into the presence of God. Not only that, at the time of Jesus, that wall had signs on it. Those signs were written in Latin and Greek, which were the two major languages of the Gentiles. And those signs said to Gentiles, you can go no further at risk of death. In other words, if they did seek to go further into the temple, there was a risk of them being killed. So the Gentiles were ignorant of the law. In other words, they didn't know God. They thought that maybe God was just another one of the many gods. The Gentiles had limited access into the temple. Now, as we come back to the Jews believed that God would send a Messiah, a man who was going to bring peace, a man who would cause all people in the world to worship God according to their law. And so as we look along that top line of Abraham, the Jews, the law, the temple, the Messiah, that was the beliefs and the views of the Jews and still is today. However, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah. Now, Jesus wasn't the Messiah that the Jewish leaders were expecting. They rejected him and crucified him. He was placed in a tomb, buried for 3 days. But then he rose again. He rose back to life, having defeated the power of sin and death. He fulfilled scripture. He confirmed he was the Messiah. 40 days later, he ascended back to heaven, as we heard earlier in the service. He ascended back to heaven where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Today we celebrate Ascension Sunday. Next week we're going to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost was when God the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to come and live in the lives of those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ. Pentecost happened in Jerusalem. It was a time where there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the early believers in Christ on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and filled them were largely Jewish. We saw that 3,000 were added to their number that day. As we continue to read through the book of Acts, we find that Gentiles too heard about Jesus. They heard about Jesus, they put their faith in Jesus, and they too were filled with the Holy Spirit. They too were now in Christ. Now, when Jews first heard about this, a lot of them weren't real sure. They weren't even sure if it was possible that Gentiles could be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Peter, who was the one who was there when that happened, explained to them about what had happened. And it says here that when they, this was the Jewish believers and the leaders of the Jewish believers, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." So now, we see that there are Jewish believers and there are Gentile believers, and they are now in Christ. And in the passage today, we see that in Christ, they become one new humanity. They become one body. They become the temple. Imagine these two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. For hundreds and hundreds of years, they've lived very, very differently. They've got completely different backgrounds. And now they are trying to work out how to worship God together. They're trying to work out how to live together in Christ. So what was God saying to the Jewish and Gentile believers about becoming the church where God would dwell by his Spirit? That's what this passage is about. But for us today, we ask ourselves the question, do we want to see God increasingly dwell among us by his Spirit? In other words, do we want more of his presence and glory? And so last week, when we started looking at Ephesians chapter 2, so as we're moving our way through the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 10, we saw how each of us can become the person God intends us to be. Today, we're looking at how we become the church God intends us to be. So in Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you are Gentiles, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body of human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." So here, Paul is speaking to the Gentiles. He's reminding them, this is who you were before you knew Christ. This is how you lived for hundreds of years in your culture. And in this derogatory term that was often used by the Jews, they were the uncircumcised. If we take that same verse and we reformat it, we see now that they're being reminded, this is who you were called. You were called the uncircumcised. And then there's these 5 points that define who they were. That remember at that time, you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. And because you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, you did not understand the promises God had given to the people. These promises called covenants. So you are foreigners to the covenants of the promise. That means you are without hope and you are without God in the world. That's a pretty solemn reminder of who they were before they put their faith in Christ. What were you like before you put your faith in Christ? What was life like for you? Did you know anything about God? Were you without God? Did you have hope? Or did you feel that life was hopeless? What changed? You see, last week we saw this incredible word, but. But God. Where we saw this is what you were, but God brought about a change in your life. Today, again, we see this word, but. This is who you were as Gentiles, but now in Christ, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. But now, you might have been without God, but now in Christ Jesus, you've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. On Good Friday, in our message, we looked at the importance of blood. And what we saw in the book of Leviticus is it shows us that they would take an animal, they would sacrifice the animal, they would take the blood of the animal, and they would then use that for forgiveness of sins. They would use that and they would consecrate the temple or the tabernacle. They'd consecrate each of the items that are used in the worship of God. And then it was that cleansing and the purifying with the blood that then meant that the tabernacle, the temple, was ready to receive the presence of God. And so what happened was that they had done those sacrifices, they'd sprinkled blood on the people and around the tabernacle, and then we see the glory and the presence of God comes and fills the tabernacle and comes and fills Solomon's temple. It's filled with his presence and his glory. Here in this verse, in verse 13, it tells us that we can come near to God through the blood of Christ. So in the same way as the tabernacle had been purified by the blood of the sacrificial animal and then God came and filled it, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you ask for forgiveness, the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses you of your sin. He purifies you. And in the same way then, the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in you. The Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And that changes everything. It changes your life. It changes your destiny forever. It changes the way we relate to other believers in Christ. And so in Ephesians 2, there were these Jews who previously would not associate with the Gentiles. And now they're worshipping with him. That's only possible because Christ is our peace. And that's what verses 14 to 18 show us. They show us that Christ is peace and Christ brings peace to all believers to create one body. And so what we've seen is this is who you were, but now you've been brought near. And now we see Christ is our peace. For he himself, that is Christ, is our peace. Who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. See, because Jesus Christ is peace, and because believers are in Christ, then peace prevails, allowing the two groups that were previously divided to become one. The barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, was destroyed. So what was this barrier? What was this dividing wall of hostility? Biblical scholars tell us it was either the law or the temple or both. So let's look at this. First of all, the law. What we see in this passage, it says the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. That shows us that it is referring to the law. This dividing wall of hostility that was in the Old Testament that caused the Jewish people to be pure and to be apart from the Gentiles. The law told them to not marry those who were not Jews. It told them not to associate in some ways with those who were not Jews. But now in Christ, those purity laws are redundant. Because Jesus came and Jesus fulfilled the law. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus says, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Christ has now fulfilled the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. So let's look at an example of where we see this actually play out. If we look at the food laws, for example. Previously, if a Jew ate food that was impure, then they were not allowed to go to the temple. They could not go to the temple. They could not go into God's presence. But that all changed in Acts chapter 10. Peter's up on a rooftop and he has this vision of all these animals that would have been considered unclean. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." In other words, he was a very good Jew. The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." You see, because Jesus fulfilled the law, the food laws were no longer required, the laws that had kept separation between Jews and Gentiles. Jews and Gentiles were no longer divided by the law. The barrier of the law was gone. The dividing wall of hostility that's referred to is probably referring to the wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the temple. So we saw earlier that the Gentiles had been considered impure. They were only allowed in the court of the Gentiles. That's this wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the temple. But in John chapter 2, Jesus says, is talking about his own death and resurrection. And it says, "But the temple he'd spoken of was his body." What this means is that if both Jewish and Gentile believers were in Christ, and Christ is the temple, then there's no longer a barrier between them. There's no longer a court of Gentiles and a court of Jews with this big barrier. The barrier is gone. They are one in Christ. They are no longer divided. They are one in Christ. And so that's what it's saying here. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." But the good news is that this division is not just between Jews and Gentiles. In Galatians 3:28, it says, "For there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." There is no longer any division between Jews and Gentiles, between those who are enslaved and those who are free, between those who are male and those who are female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. That's good news. That's amazing. Why? What was God's purpose in this? Well, the next verse tells us. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. See, Jesus removed the divisions between the believers. He created in himself one new humanity out of the two. He created one body, reconciling both of them to God. It was no longer two separate groups of people, the Jewish believers over here and the Gentile believers over there. No, they're now one new humanity. And they are now one body. The body, as we saw last week, is referring to the church. They are now the church, one in Christ. For the earliest Christians, this was a radical rethink. This was a whole new way of understanding. They still had their Jewish heritage and their Gentile heritage. They still had their favourite foods that they'd grown up with and knew and loved. They still had their fashion sense that came out of their background, their heritage. But they no longer saw themselves primarily as Jews or primarily as Gentiles. Their ethnicity became secondary because their primary identity was now that they are in Christ. In Christ, they're united. In Christ, they are at peace with God and with one another. Christ made them one new humanity. We see this in 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says here, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, that is Gentiles, or the church of God. In other words, they saw that now there were those who were Jews, there were those who were Gentiles, and there were those who were believers in Christ, and they're called the church. The church brought together as a new humanity, the people in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're part of the church. That's your primary identity. Because Christ prevailed over their former identity as either Jew or Gentile. Jesus made them one body, the church. So I want you to take a moment and just look around the room. Look around, see who's here, smile. And as you do that, the important reality I want you to grasp is that each believer in Christ in the room, you are united in Christ. You are one in Christ. That's your primary identity, is in Christ. How's that possible? Well, you see, Christ is our peace. Christ is our peace. Christ makes peace. Christ preaches peace to those who are far away and peace to those who are near. Now, how's he create that peace? What's he done to do that? What's his strategy behind that? His strategy behind that is that he's made the two groups one. He's destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility. He set aside the law. He created in himself one new humanity out of the two. He reconciled the two groups, the two, to become one in God. He put to death their hostility. He preached peace and brought peace to those who were near. See, Jesus is ministering peace. He's bringing unity between believers in Jesus, believers from different backgrounds. He's bringing them into a wider body of believers known as a church. Now, earlier this year, we saw a beautiful example of this. 31 pastors from 16 different churches in Toowoomba went away together for 3 days to pray for our city. It was wonderful to see those who were there choosing to focus on the reality that they were in Christ rather than their denomination. And so there were Anglicans and they were uniting and there were Pentecostals. And they were all there together. And then we had those who were part of small churches and those who were part of large churches. And they were one in Christ. And for 3 days, that was our focus. We are one together. And we put everything else as secondary. That our primary aspect was we were one in Christ to pray for our city. It's one of the challenges we try to walk here at Rangeville Community Church as a local church. At Rangeville, we've got people from many different backgrounds, religiously, socially, economically, and we try to live out this passage of being first and foremost in Christ who makes peace. You see, when people come from such diverse backgrounds, it's easy to get caught up in discussions of doctrine, of theological interpretation, of traditions. And if that's not done in grace, it can separate people. It's easy to judge people based on what they wear or what they say, particularly if you don't know their life story. But what Ephesians 2 is telling us is that the primary unifying truth is that we are one in Christ. So let us focus on being in Christ and let us unite in Him rather than dividing over different doctrines or theological interpretations or traditions. It doesn't mean you can't have those conversations, but you have them with grace and love. That we are united in Christ. Where you find yourself considering division or disunity amongst groups of Christians or within the church, I encourage you to submit it to Christ. Ask Him to bring peace to those who are far away and peace to those who are near. If groups with such different views are believers, as the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers had such different views beforehand, the good news is, through Him, that is through Christ, we both have access to God the Father through the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I encourage each person, where you have concerns, submit them to God. And allow the peace of Christ to prevail in your lives and in the churches. You see, if you are in Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of the law, and Christ is the temple, and if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then what this tells us is that you can access God the Father wherever you are. And more than that, verses 19 to 22 in this third section of this passage show us that in Christ we become a holy temple of God's presence and glory. In other words, we become the dwelling place where God lives by His Spirit. The word temple means dwelling place of a deity. So it doesn't matter what religion someone's talking about, the word temple means the dwelling place of that deity. So in the case of the temple in Jerusalem, it's the dwelling place of God Almighty. Now God intends that all those who are in Christ are actually being built together into a holy temple. Now, to reinforce this, Paul uses building themes really strongly. Who here likes Bob the Builder? All right, good. Let's look at the building theme that comes out in this passage. I've highlighted it. We have words like household, built, foundation, cornerstone, building, joined together, being erected, rising up, built together to become a dwelling. Anyone see that building theme? So strong. Because Paul wants us to understand that God is calling the people as one to be built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. That's what He wants us to be, a temple. When we are united in Christ, we are being built together. The temple is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, there's lots of different interpretations of what that might mean. But if we take apostles like Peter or apostles like Paul, what we know is that they brought leadership and the Word of God. They brought leadership and they taught the Word of God. We know that the prophets, by definition, are people who hear what God is saying and speak out what God is saying to the people. So in other words, the apostles are representing the leadership and the teaching of the Word of God, and the prophets are representing the revelation and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in the same way, the foundation of the church should be grounded in the Word of God, and led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need both as the foundations for the church, with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In other words, the cornerstone is that part of the foundations that makes the building level, that makes it square. If you don't get that right, your building can't be built correctly or with strength. So we need the Word of God, we need the leading, empowering of the Holy Spirit, all of which is based in Christ, with Christ as our cornerstone. And it's only by being in Christ that we can be joined together. And it says here that we would be joined together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. We are joined together without hostility, without division, to become the holy temple of the Lord. Now, the word temple there is quite significant. The word that's used here, the original Greek word, is naos. Naos actually means the inner sanctuary, the inner part of the temple. In other words, it's the place of the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. So as believers in Christ, we are called together as one to be the temple, the place where the presence of God would be so evident. As we think back to the Old Testament, we see that the Jews were yearning for the temple to be filled with the presence of glory of God. They'd experienced that when the tabernacle, I said earlier about when they'd take the blood and they would cleanse it and they'd cleanse the people, and then the presence of God came down with fire and filled the tabernacle. The same thing happened at Solomon's temple. And the presence and the glory of God was so great that they couldn't even go into the place. That's the yearning of the people of Israel, that the presence and glory of God would so fill their temple and be so present for them. In the same way, we should be yearning that the temple that's referred to here, when it says that we are to become a holy temple in the Lord, do we have a yearning for the presence of God to come and fill us? That there would be a presence and a glory of God in our midst. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, verses 18 and 22 tell us. In verse 18, it says, "For through him," that is Christ, "we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit." In other words, it's referring here to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through Christ, we have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. And then as we get down into the last section, where it talked about building, it said, "In him," again Christ, "you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Holy Spirit." It's by the Holy Spirit that we have access to God. It's by the Holy Spirit that we become the dwelling place of the presence and the glory of God. So in today's passage, what we've seen is that we are to become one in Christ without division. The dividing wall, the barrier, the hostility is to be gone because we're in Christ. We see that God is calling us to build the foundation of his word, the apostles, and the revelation of his Spirit through the prophets, with Christ as our chief cornerstone. He's calling us to be the church that reveals and manifests God's presence and glory. And how does he say to do that? Through the Holy Spirit. So if anyone's interested and keen for this, we would say, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Imagine a church that is so filled with God's presence and glory. It says that Christ is our peace. Imagine a church filled with the presence and glory of God, that there is a peace that transcends understanding. Imagine a church so filled with the presence and glory of God that there is a freedom, where people are being healed, where people's lives are being restored, where families are being restored, where people are so filled and aware of the presence of God that when they go out from the church, they carry the presence with them, that when they go home into their family, when they go into their workplace, when they go into their community, they are carrying the presence of God with such power and love that people around them are being impacted in beautiful ways by God. That's what God is yearning for, that we become the temple of his presence and of his glory. Not just so that we would come into this building and go, well, wow, that was a great experience. No. Yes, we want that, but it's more than that. It's that he would then so fill us that we would make a difference to be transforming our community to become increasingly like God intended it to be. That in our community, we would see God move in power to heal families, to improve workplaces, to see beauty and life and hope. Because the Gentiles were without hope and without God. We have the opportunity to be people who bring hope and bring God to our community. That's what this passage is telling us. So let's just take a minute and say, God, what are you saying to me today? What do I do with that? What do I do with what I've heard? Lord, we thank you for the many different people from many different backgrounds who are part of your church. And we especially thank you that we see this in Rangeville Community Church. Lord, just as the Jews and the Gentiles were willing to see their primary identity as being in Christ and as one body, the church, help each of us to put our primary identity in being in Christ and in the church. Lord, we thank you for your love for each person, for your desire that we would be united in Christ. So, Lord, we pray for your peace for those who are far away and for those who are near. Lord, we pray that we would know your peace, that there would not be division, disunity, but, Lord, there would be one people, one body here at Rangeville, where each person contributes to the blessing of the whole. Verse 22 said that in Christ, we're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by the Holy Spirit. Lord, build your church. Lord, build Rangeville Community Church to be your temple, a place of your dwelling. Lord, may that be true of other churches all across our city. May that be true of the church of the city. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, we pray for more of your presence and your glory so we can be the church you desire us to be. We ask it in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you heard at the start of the service, today we have a newcomer's lunch. If you're relatively new to Rangeville, you've been coming for a little while, you'd like to know a little bit more about the church, you'd like to ask some questions or meet some other people from the church or others who are also just started coming to Rangeville in the last while, then come to the newcomer's lunch. It's available today. It's free. You just come up the hallway to Multipurpose Room 3 and we'll meet there at 12 o'clock. It'd be lovely for you to be able to come along to that this morning. Next Sunday is Pentecost, where we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming down and filling the lives of believers. And we're going to celebrate that with a picnic. So we've got barbecues, we've got jumping castles, we've got a place and a time where it's going to be fun and a chance again just to meet and hang out as a church family, enjoying each other's company, getting to know one another. And so that's next Sunday, again starting about 12 o'clock. So as soon as the service finishes really, we'll be celebrating with that picnic. So please come along. If you would like to help in some way of serving on the day, please have a chat to Kylie. We'd love to be able to involve people who want to be involved in serving on the day. As we come to the close of the service, I want to finish with a benediction. A benediction simply means the word blessing. In Ephesians 1, it said this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." So Lord, this week, may each person who is here and is with us online experience the peace of Christ, that you may know the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. May you be blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing, and may you in turn be a blessing to those around about you. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everyone. God bless. Thank you.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.